Soxy.
Good morning, Tam Tam.
It's almost Christmas. Although it's, but by the time people listen to this, Christmas will be over.
Yeah. You know what? I've got to tell you, I have gotten all my Christmas shopping done. And
Where do you put Roxy?
Yes. I'm usually the girl that's running out to the stores on Christmas Eve, trying to like get everybody done all that same night. Right, see, but I did it online this year because of COVID, and I did it online this year, and I actually supported small business in the process because they all deliver online.
And what did you get me?
Oh, just you wait.
It better be big. Just kidding. You don't have to send me anything. No one wants to send me anything in Texas.
It's Sean jumping out of a cake, a Christmas cake.
Oh, good. I feel like I see his face all the time. So I would prefer another person, another man to jump out of a cake would be really fun and exciting for like that split second. I'm sure he wouldn't be too happy about it, but I'd be like, it's another face I get to see other than yours.
You're right. You mix it up a little bit.
It's been good. We're in Texas still in Austin. And, you know, I did break down for, like, I literally thought I was having a nervous breakdown like 24 hours ago. And I just started crying out of nowhere. But I realized that so many people feel this way during the holidays. Well, especially now, because we can't be around friends and family and we do feel really lonely. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just was crying for like a whole day. And I was like, maybe I need to go take medication. And I was like, no, it's just Christmas time and you're stuck at home.
You could also have a little eggnog. That helps.
I could also get drunk. Yes, it's always Roxy's fix.
It's easy.
Well, I'm super excited today because I haven't seen these two people since pre-COVID in Germany. The last time I saw them was in Germany.
So that was like when you guys were on that trip, like for the convention, right?
Yes.
Wow.
And we had the best time. So I am with Kimberly and Brant, who you might know them as like the most awesome couple ever. So Brant was on Pretty Little Liars and we were kind of together on the show, which I've never talked to Kimberly. I've never talked to Kimberly about that. She's probably like, that's kind of weird. You've like kissed my husband.
You guys did it? On the show, yeah.
On the show.
She's like mad about it. She was like, I have nothing. Imagine that just came out just then. I was like, yeah, Brian, surprise. Like, 2-year relationship.
Wait, but how were Noel and Jenna dated? how are the both of you kissing? Like, if you had to rate each other,
it's very normal. Like, it's very non-sexy kissing, remember?
It's so robotic almost at a point.
It's it's like, put your lip up here. It's like,
So there was no tongue exchanged? Remember, we talked about this with Ian.
Roxy! No, there was none. And no one's ever done that to me ever, by the way. So that's because
I've never done that, and no one's ever done that to me.
So. Well, that was a really nice introduction. So hi, guys. Welcome.
It's nice to see you.
Welcome to Women on Top.
Welcome to the show. How are you guys feeling in quarantine right now?
We're, you know, we work from home most of the time. So I feel like our day to day didn't really change all that much. We just, like you said, we can't go see people or go to the store ever. So it's been challenging, but moment to moment, it's actually been pretty fine. I mean, there's been some stress and some tears and some arguments.
From you, Brant. From you. Brant's
honestly, yes,
every
mostly
day.
For me.
Well, it seems like you guys have been a little busy, too, because there's like a baby on board, isn't there?
That's what I'm told. Yeah, we are, 6 months pregnant now? We are six months pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there was, you know, our day-to-day is pretty much not crazy different. We write together, so we write from home. But we've shot two movies since lockdown, so we've been traveling. We went to Louisiana in September. We were in Oklahoma for the whole month of October and half of November. So we have still been out and about, which is nerve-wracking, to be honest.
Yeah, you've been on the road a lot with your whole family, which has to be...
Well, we're not like you guys who are actually being productive. We just decided to run away, pretty much.
Good, that is productive, though.
Like, we just decided one day, we were like, you know what? We're miserable during this COVID stuff. We need to get away from misery. So we are trying to create memories with our small children. But it's been an interesting ride, for sure.
I'm sure. We were talking about how much more difficult this COVID travel would be if our baby was born already. So my hat is off to you for taking care of two of them.
So what was that like finding out you were pregnant? Was this something you guys kind of were working towards, or was it a surprise in quarantine, like a quarantine baby?
Mm-hmm.
It was both.
You're like, I know how it works, but surprise!
Who knew it actually worked?
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? You never know.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of my life trying to make it not happen.
That's what I said too.
You know, basically we started not trying and got pregnant really fast. So that was part of why it was kind of the surprise, which we're very grateful for that we were able to, because I know a lot of people who are struggling to conceive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just happened like.
Yeah, we were like, we'll stop the birth control for a minute. And then if it doesn't happen, we'll wait a few months and wait for her sister's wedding to pass and we'll try. And it just happened immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have my sister's getting married like a month after my due date. So we're going to have like we were like, if we don't get pregnant right now, then we're just going to wait a few months and then we'll start trying again. It was just kind of a quick. But it just happened very quickly.
And I was sitting actually right here, right where I am right now when she told me.
I thought you were about to say you were sitting right there when you conceived. I'm like, thanks guys. Thanks for the information. I'm like, now I will always look at that couch very differently.
So were you freaked out?
Where I was going with that.
Were you freaked out when you found out, or were you like elated? Like what was the
reaction? I was freaked out at how little I was freaked out, honestly. Oh. If that makes any sense at all. It was I'm so excited, and it makes me feel like I'm insane how excited I am, because like I said, I've spent so long avoiding this and it finally happened and I'm like, I'm over the moon. Like, I can't wait. I'm so excited to meet this little guy.
Aww. It's the best. It's the best feeling. Well, how do I put this? The first baby is the best feeling, because it's like, I'm so new to this and you don't know what to expect. And the thing that I wish that I had done, which is not like advice, because I think advice, like, people hate to get advice, but I wished I had heard about all the things that could happen so I was prepared. Like, I think my first child, I was like, what do you mean I'm in a diaper for 3 weeks? Like, what do you mean? Like, I thought sexy lingerie. This is a true story. I brought sexy lingerie to the hospital. I got my hair and makeup done, my toes done, got waxed. I was like, I want to be waxed. I don't know who's looking at that. By the end of it, I was like, the second baby, I think I was like, I hadn't washed my hair in 3 weeks. Because I was just like, it's not about that stuff. And I think I just wish that I had more information so that I didn't think that what I was going through was abnormal. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes. A lot of what I've been reading in the baby book that Kim got me is very surprising information for me. I had no idea about this.
Yeah. We're both reading different baby books right now. He's reading What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Oh, it's What to Expect During the First Year.
Which is also a very good movie.
Yeah.
What to Expect During the First Year.
Yeah, I think it's the sequel.
Oh, oops. And I'm reading Your Baby's First Years. So it's actually more about the baby. We are signed up for some birthing classes.
But there isn't once a day where I don't come up to Kim and I'm like, Kim, did you know this about breast milk? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, just blew my mind.
You know, it's so funny. We have all these books about like what to expect, you know, with the baby, like the first year, 2 years, however long. But there is not a book for parents. Like
for the dad
too. Yeah,
right?
For the dad too. Like, what is going to happen to your body? Like, how you're going to feel, how your emotions are going to be, right? Like, that would be really helpful. Right?
I feel like I read books that were trying to be that, but they're all like, they're all condescending. They're all like, hey, so you're going to be a dad. That's going to fuck up your life irreparably, right?
It's
right?
Not.
Your
it's
wife's
amazing.
Probably going to get fat, and that's cool. And I'm like, I'm not worried about this. I don't know why this is what you're leading with. Like, tell me how to be a dad.
Right.
The only thing that I would say is like, relationships in that first year suffer. So you have to be aware of each other, because what happens is there's a new person that comes into the dynamic, and that person takes up all your attention for both of you. So it's like, it's those little things that, like, you know, even though I've had two kids and my second kid, I told that to my husband, we still struggled that first year. I was still like, do you see me? Do you notice me? Like, and he felt right. the same way. Like, do you hear me? Cause you know, your emotions go all over the place that you just start yelling at each other. Well, mm-hmm. maybe not everyone, maybe just me and Roxy, but you just start yelling at each other cause you're so fucking tired. So you're just like, yeah, get me this, get me this. And you forget each other's part in the relationship that I wish that I had known. Okay, make sure that the foundation of our relationship is really strong. Go to therapy, make sure that you know what you're going to expect so that you guys are super solid, or me, like I was, we were super solid, so that the other stuff you're able to navigate a lot easier. I think there needs to be more focus on the relationship as well as the kid, for sure.
Yeah, I would say I definitely let go of that for like the first, I'd say even month, 2 months, like right when you get home from the hospital. For me, that was like the hardest point, because it's like, you know, you're sleep deprived. It's the hormones. I, you know, both Tamman and I had C-section. So it's like recovering from a major surgery. And I think that that was the thing that I fucked up the most, was that I didn't communicate with my husband. I kind of just exploded, you know, and just would like, you know, let the hormones take over and the lack of sleep. Mm-hmm. But that is a good point, Tam. And it's like, you have to make sure that foundation is strong before the baby comes even, you know?
Right. No, that's really good to hear. Mm-hmm. We've actually been taking a lot of steps to try and prepare ourselves in that way. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, therapy and, you know, reading the books and preparing ourselves that's really good to keep in mind, because I see how easily that would happen.
Yes.
Do you guys feel any bitterness towards the fact that maybe you're just more evolved than I am, but that you got pregnant during COVID. So you've missed out on a lot of the things that are exciting when you're first time parents, like the baby showers or the amount of people you can have for the baby showers and the appointments, and all those things are kind of muted now because you're in COVID.
Yeah. I guess kind of what bothers me the most is like, my mom's not going to be able to be there. Which, as you can tell, affects me. Because she lives in Ohio. She's 2,000 miles away. And she can't, I mean, she has pre-existing conditions. There's no way she can get on a plane and come here right now. So it's difficult for both of us, knowing that, you know, she's going to have a grandson that she just can't see.
Gosh, that's hard.
So that's been...
And you, Kim, I know.
Didn't expect to get emotional about that.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. We pull it out of you. You will it's have to get emotional at the end of the show.
It's the pregnancy hormones for Brand. My pregnancy hormones have just made me cry over when Postmates gets my food order wrong.
Oh my God.
All I've cried over, really.
Food.
Yes. Yes.
She handles everything else with grace and patience. And,
and God forbid.
Yeah. And God forbid, Brand, do not eat the last of anything. Because I know that set me off so bad when I was pregnant. My husband would come and like eat the last of the ice cream or whatever I wanted, and I lost my shit. I was
luckier. We, Kim and I, can't eat like any of the same snacks. Some dietary restrictions. So
okay.
he did eat the last of the leftover gravy from Thanksgiving.
Oh, I did.
And I specially made it with all my dietary restrictions. And so it was a little heartbreaking when I couldn't have my leftovers.
We're still working through it.
Yeah. My biggest meltdown through my first pregnancy, and I still remember, is my husband came home with the wrong cheese. They didn't have the right cheese. And to be honest with you, is actually the biggest meltdown I've ever had in my entire life. Like I sat on the floor and I hysterically sobbed. I could not catch my breath for about an hour and a half. Like that's how bad that situation was. And that's what's so interesting about hormones and the strength of hormones, about what they can do and what they can do during pregnancy and after. But it seems like Kim's got it together, because I did not.
Kim, in most situations, to my amazement, and it pleases me every time, she always has her shit together.
I did a lot of like reading self-help books in my early 20s. And I feel like that really helps with emotional stuff. So yeah, I haven't, knock on wood, so far felt much of the emotional roller coaster that I was expecting to feel.
Okay.
But probably once I'm not sleeping.
Well, Oh yeah. Well, both of us are going to fall apart.
And postpartum, you know, I have several friends who've dealt with postpartum depression. Mm. So who knows, you know, if that's going to be something that comes my way, you know, hopefully not, but I know how common it is. But yeah, back to the COVID situation and being pregnant, Brant wasn't able to come to my, to our first ultrasound, which is,
it's heartbreaking. That's hard. Yeah.
So like I made a video for him and he was sitting in the car outside and, but it was just hard that he, you know, of course wanted to be there.
I want to be there for all for of it, all for of every them. Single moment of it.
Luckily there's been a few since then that are, we go to a different, specialized place for the HD ultrasounds. They have us do once a trimester and he's allowed to come to that one. So he's been able to be there for that. And
but you know, we can't have a proper baby shower and we can't we can't do all those things that we would normally do.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel better, I never had one.
Oh, that's right. We were going to do one for you, Tammin, right?
Yeah, right, Roxy. Where was it? Where's my freaking baby shower?
Oh, no.
She's like, we were thinking of it.
You're forgetting something.
I knew that you had a baby. Yeah. I think you were like, oh, we'll have a post one. I'm like, that is not the same thing.
A sippancy, as we call it. Party,
I just got too overwhelmed by the whole, you know, I think it's overwhelming enough to go, oh, fuck. I'm like, I'm literally producing a human. Like, there are ears in my stomach. Like, there's an ears and a butt and eyes. And, like,
that too. You know
what I mean?
So
like, there's
weird
things in my stomach. Like, that is enough stress for me to have to deal with doing a party. You know what I mean? Like, and just doing my hair and, like, looking good, doing my nails. That is too much for me to handle.
You know, I'm maid of honor in my sister's wedding, and she's getting married. Mm-hmm. So it's... I feel like, you know, it's the same thing in that she can't have her like bridal shower or her bachelorette or all the things that we, you know, at least the way that we would have done it any other year. And so I don't know, we'll try and figure out some sort of, maybe one of those, people have been doing those drive-by things. Maybe we'll do that. We just honestly sent our like Amazon baby registry to our families as when they were asking for Christmas list for like,
help
just, we don't need anything for us, just like baby.
Yeah, just baby stuff. So I know this
the
is
a baby that you can't see.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I know this is a lot to think about. And I'll start off by saying that I am a helicopter parent. I will totally admit
are
to
you?
That. I am, Tam. I am like on it.
Are
like whenever
like
there's,
that? I'm
bad.
Like the opposite. I'm like,
are you free range? Do you think free range?
I was on a phone call the other day and I looked over and my 2-year-old was in the sink. I'm like standing in the sink. And I was like, do I get off the call? Do I get my kid? I was like, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
She knows how to get out of the sink.
It's so funny because have you guys even thought about that? Like, it will probably change anyway once your baby comes. But like, have you thought about like, are you going to be the kind of parent that's like on the baby, you know, kind of like how I am, or more like laid back like Tammin is, like more free range?
I feel like
I'm going to sip my coffee during
that. I actually, we raised a puppy this year from infancy. I feel like we're pretty balanced.
I feel like you're pretty balanced. I feel like I, as I've been working out with my therapist, am very critical of others and expect many things from people. So that I have
That's
to watch.
That's an artist thing. Yeah.
I have to watch myself in my marriage too, but also, you know, with my kid especially, because she knows how to deal with it and my kid won't.
Deal with
my perfectionism.
I think that is it's weird that you said that, because the only thing I talk about in therapy is expectations, perfectionism. And it might be a creative actor thing. I know Kim's also an actor. But maybe there's like a thing that happens to a lot more people in the creative side, which is like, you know, you want to perform, but like, don't we want to perform because we also want the accolades too? It's funny because people go, oh, I want to perform because I want to give everything out to other people. But deep down, you also want people to think you're good. Don't you? You also want people to go, oh, yay, you're such a great actor. You did a great scene. Like, you still want that accolade. So the perfectionism comes from the fact that like, well, if I'm not perfect, then I don't get the accolades. And if I don't get the accolades, then am I enough? It's like that whole spiral thing.
It's like you need the approval. You need that approval, you know?
Yeah. As my therapist actually put it the other day, perfectionism is an avoidance strategy. And I never thought of it that way. It is a way of avoiding a possible outcome. And that gave me the exact look you have in your face right now. I was like,
is it so? It's kind of like procrastination a little bit, right? Like, if exactly, you put something off, like,
I need your therapist.
She's great. She does cognitive behavioral therapy, which has been honestly really good for me.
Isn't that the one that Tori does too, Tamin? When we had Tori on, she was talking about that as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's something that I've been working on. But when you have kids, it's really hard to spend a lot of time on your own, yourself. But Brant, what do you sell? Like, because we spoke about this in Germany a little bit. Like, you suffer from anxiety and stuff like that as well, right? Isn't that things that you're also working on?
Yeah, I went through, I had a really bad experience on a film last year that led to a pretty intense bout of depression, which goes hand in hand with anxiety, which I've always had a bit of. So this year, I ended last year saying, I need a break. I need to take a break from performing and being on screen and being judged all the time. And then I got a 9-month break with COVID. So this year I've really been just trying to focus on getting back to a place where I'm excited to perform again and excited to do those things.
Did something happen on set that you don't have to tell us the whole story, or you can, but
I'm happy to talk about it.
Please do.
There was a stunt that was poorly thought out, and I hesitate to say I almost died, but there was a situation in which I very easily could have, and it was all because these people were cutting corners.
Of course.
And then the day after that, they wanted me to sign a piece of paper that absolved them of all the guilt. And that just led me down a dark path for a while. So
did you sustain injury from it? Were you injured?
No, it was a swimming scene. It was also October in Vancouver. So the water was freezing cold. So I got hypothermia, and not too much information, but I got out of the water and started violently throwing up and shaking. And the director was like, well, I guess we're done for the day. Come back tomorrow. And I was like, I think I need to go to the hospital. And just nobody took care of me in any way.
They didn't have, you know, I did a movie where people were in the water and they had Navy SEALs with tanks underwater with you.
Sure. You saw the Warner Brothers lake is heated.
Oh, I was pregnant and they were like, you know, how many degrees can you, like, I had to like test the degrees I was comfortable with before putting me in there.
They go much harder than they should because of all the variables that could happen. And these people thought of none of those things. And they were just like, fine, push them in the 40 degree water. It'll be fine. It'll be, you know, and then I just was very afraid for a moment that I wasn't going to come back out of that lake.
And the narrative is also that because you're a man, right, that, you know, there's a lot of things that I think we need to change in what we say about women and the narrative surrounding women, but also about men, that men are like, oh, you can handle it. You know, let's just throw you in 30 whatever degree water and like, you'll be fine. And it's like, no, like you're human. You know, it's not about men or women. It's like you're a human being. And I think sometimes on set, we can feel really disposable. Very replaceable. And when you come to terms with that, I think that's probably what maybe I don't want to put words in your mouth. Maybe that's why you had that realization of like, you know, well, what is my worth around that time?
Yeah, it really messed with my head quite a bit. And I did. And kind of like you said, like I realized that I was buying into that whole masculinity thing. I was like, why can't I bounce back from this? Why am I not strong enough to get out of this hole? Until I realized that it's not about strength or being a man, or it's about owning up to what's going on in your head and trying to come up with better ways of handling things. And to me, I thought, you know, aggression is the way to get through most problems. I'll just muscle through it. And that was not the answer to this problem.
How did you resolve it? Like, did you end up, you know, having to go back to set, and what was the outcome?
I mean, I went like a good little soldier. I went back to set the next day and I finished the movie keeping one eye open the entire time. And it was, you know, it affected my performance because now I'm worried. I feel like all these people don't give a shit if I live or die.
And you lose trust, right?
I lost trust immediately with everyone there. I didn't trust anybody.
Right.
This happened on day 3 of the movie, so it wasn't a pleasant experience. After that, I contacted my union and I had them do a safety audit, and they went through the whole company and figured everything out. So I felt better about that. Kim was honestly the driving force in me, sort of my recovery. She was the one who was like, let's do this. Let's get on it and figure out what we need to do to make it better.
Yeah. Because he triggered something in him where emotionally he was struggling, like daily struggling. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't do auditions. He couldn't.
I would get sent an audition and I would have a panic attack and I would be on the floor crying unconsolably. Mm. So I know that feeling.
He couldn't run auditions with me. It was very, it was scary to see him going through that.
I'm sure.
And so, yeah, I was like, you know, this is something beyond what we can deal with. Mm-hmm. Just the two of us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we need to get help. And, right. And one of the things that Brant actually sent me an article about, like, the limbic system and how you can, you know, a triggering event can
the same way you could break your arm.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Something in your brain can misfire. And yeah.
And so he's put in a lot of work and I'm very proud of him.
Thank you. I think the thing, I guess, if there's any men listening who could take anything from this, men are supposed to be strong. And that is the number one thing that we value in men is strength and the aggression. And I felt like I wasn't strong enough to get out of it until I read this book. And it was like, no, depression is actually a symptom of being too strong for too long. Mm-hmm. It's not a symptom of being too weak. It's that I've put everything I have into this for so long. And it almost killed me.
Yeah, it was kind of the trigger that, you know, got his limbic system malfunctioning, which is, you know, it's like you're sick. It's like you broke your arm and you need to like do something to heal from that. Mm-hmm.
But I was always the guy who was like, oh, we're going to the lake. Fuck yeah. We'll go in the lake. Like we're going to go race cars. Fuck yeah. Let's go race cars. Like I was the guy who would do all the things. Mm-hmm. And this year of therapy has led me to take a step back and say, you can hire a stunt double. I'll be in my trailer.
Mm. So you're really showing your vulnerability at this point. You feel more comfortable showing like your vulnerability.
Sure. And it's also, it's about how I handle it. It's about getting the solution to the problem without fucking exploding.
Mm.
Yeah. Like I said, if I just told them, guys, I'm not going in that lake. And if you want me to, here's the number for my SAG rep.
Mm.
And just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Instead of going into the lake and almost dying.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was going to be a problem from the start, but part of me was like, fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah, like don't cause a problem. Don't cause a rift. Don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny when you talk about anxiety. I had an incident when I was 25. So about 12 years now, I've suffered pretty extreme anxiety because I told Roxy this, like I get these ocular migraines, but I lose my speech and my vision and my my ability to like know where I am.
It's kind of like a mini
stroke and it came out of nowhere and I was alone and I didn't know my name and I didn't know my husband's name. And I just fell on the floor to my neighbors and I said, help, but it didn't come out help because I couldn't make a sentence. It comes out like, help. So they got an ambulance. I was by myself and I've never really been the same since then. And those things happen also. It's like they happen every now and then. So once a year I get those and I have to accept that, like not being in control. And that's the thing about anxiety too. You know, I would like go to Pretty Little Liars and I'd be like so worked up just to drive there. Cause I was like, don't fuck up. Please. Can this not happen on set? I really don't want this to happen on set.
Oh,
and it's funny because you think about like, I'm so anxious and you are so anxious or depressed or were because we're so worried about letting people down and we're so worried of failing. That's what it's about. My migraines or ocular migraines, if I was just like, you know what, fuck it. It's a really scary thing that happens once a year for 20 minutes, once a year, I'll get through it. Like if it happens on set, I'll just have to say, like, I'll have a little sign and I'll give it to them saying I have an ocular migraine. I'm for 20 minutes to an hour, I'm kind of incapacitated. Like I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And they would probably be like, what would they say on set? They'd be like, okay. Okay, guys, shutting. Yeah. What are they going to do? But you feel like you're not worthy and you feel like you're a failure if you fuck up in any way. So that's what you do is you get into the water and you say yes and you almost kill yourself.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. I understand that very clearly. I'm sorry that you went through that or are going through that.
Oh, I still do.
That sounds, I get migraines once in a while. They're nowhere near that and they debilitate me. So I can't imagine.
I even thought before this podcast, I was like, oh fuck. Like, I know like Roxy's counting on me. Like, what happens if all of a sudden I get one and then I have to move I have to cancel. You don't want to be that person who's like, I'm so sorry. Cause then people don't really believe you. It's like, I can't, we have to move for now. Cause I literally can't talk. They're just like, so you have to make shit up and you have to be like, my kid got sick or whatever. It's like, why can't we just be honest with people and say that everyone has a thing, right? Roxy has a thing.
Sure.
Has a thing. Everyone has something that they're dealing with. And if we were just more open about it, we would feel less afraid to just be honest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think to your guys' point too, when you guys were on PLL, on Pretty Little Liars, did you feel supported and taken care of in the way that maybe you didn't on the recent film set? Did you guys feel that like being taken care of?
Yeah.
I mean, Pretty Little Liars is, you know, everything is above board and there is, you can follow a chain of command and like everyone has a responsibility. And like in a low budget movie, it's like, okay, where's the safety officer? And why is the medic the same guy who's doing the catering? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. And then when I get hurt, he can't offer me any help like a Navy SEAL on Pretty Little Liars would have. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. Like a higher budget thing, I've never felt physically unsafe, but I felt several times on lower budget films like this.
They have more to lose. Like that's what's so sad when we really think about it. The reason why we feel more safe is because they have more to lose because of the money, right?
Yeah.
So if like brands on Pretty Little Liars are a bigger budget thing, like 50 Shades, and like something happens, that fucks their day up. No offense. Yeah, like their entire day is like $1 million. So like they can't have that stuff happen.
Yeah.
But sometimes with lower budget stuff, they're just like, how can we do this for as cheap as we can so that, so that we can make the movie without having to spend more money.
Exactly. And they don't want to hire stunt divers and a whole team and a safety officer and all these things. If they, and it's not a big deal. He'll just go in the lake. It's fine.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like you were emotionally taken care of on Pretty Little Liars? Like that, like that sort of, I don't know if it's like a vibe or it's just you felt safe in that space.
Tammin, I'll let you lead with that one if you have an answer.
Look, I don't know what Brant feels about this, but we weren't the main characters. So when you're not the main characters, there's different hierarchy. So I think sometimes when you're coming in and you're doing, like, I think for me, I just went in and did my job and then went home. I'm the kind of person who loves to get in the muck. Like, I like to get dirty. I like to hug you. I like to kiss you, not during COVID, obviously. I want to be part of the group. I want to go to the parties. I want to be invited to the parties, even if I don't go because I have social anxiety. I want to be invited to these parties.
I may or may not show up.
Yeah, I might not show up because I'm stressed and nervous. But I want to feel like I'm part of the team. And sometimes when you're not number one, number two, number three, number four, number five on this case, number six on the call sheet, you're not as part of that team. And so I feel like in that respect, I feel like I missed out a little bit of the whole experience. If Brant and I were number one and two on the call sheet and it was our show, it would feel different. That was the only thing that but I'm so grateful that I did. And I'm not saying that because I have to say it. I am grateful for the show because without the show, it wouldn't have opened up so many doors and so many things that I want to do in my creative life. And I probably wouldn't have had my kids, I did that because of, I was able to financially because of Pretty Little Liars. So there are things that you're grateful for. And then there's things that obviously could have felt a little different.
Yeah. I think that was a really solid answer. I will say that, yes, to answer your question, I felt emotionally supported. I felt protected there. I felt like I was encouraged to try things every once in a while. But to Tammin's point, the show is not about us fundamentally. So there would be points where I'm like, how did my character get from A to B here? I don't really understand. And the answer is, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
The answer is, this scene is about Lucy Hale, and it isn't really about you at all.
They're like, why am I standing working here? They're like, it just doesn't matter.
Apparently time travel is a thing.
I remember when we did the time jump, I had been off the show for like a season or something, and I came back to Marlene's office, and God bless Marlene, she's the nicest person. and I was just like, help me. I don't know what's going on. I don't, 5 years later now, what have I been doing?
Why do I look the same? Why am I still 19?
Well, Brian, who are you closest to on the show? Like of the cast? Was it like the guys would all hang out together or were you, was it kind of mixed? Like, how'd you guys feel?
You know, I we never had any scenes together, but we met at one of the photo shoots, but Julian Morris ended up becoming a good friend of mine. And we haven't seen each other in a very long time, but, he became really close to me for a little while. I love Julian.
He was literally today like, I need to see Julian.
I was like, we can't wait until COVID's over. I need to call Julian.
Getting nostalgic with all the Pretty Little Liars. How about you, Tamin? Who were you closest to? I don't think you've ever told me.
Well, Keegan and I in the beginning were really close. And he even said that on the show. He was like, oh, I was like trying to like, what did he say? I can't remember. What did he say? He was like, I was like, we'd go to lunch all the time. And then I was like, here's my husband. And then he stopped hanging out with me. And I had no idea because I just thought like he knew I was married. And then I was like, oh, so I have no friends now. But I really got on with like a lot of the ancillary characters. Like I adore Vanessa. She was so amazing.
She's great.
Tori and Brandon, you know, even
Tori,
Brandon.
I adore Tori.
Like all those kind of like the characters on the periphery were great because we would just come in and just like, you know, chat and that stuff. But I want to talk, cause we don't have that much time, about relationships. Cause you know, you guys have a really strong relationship. You have a really strong foundation. Wait until you have a baby.
Wait till that foundation gets rocked.
Start marriage counseling now. Just kidding. We're still in it. Roxy, we're still in it.
I know. We're still in it. 15 years in.
I know. 15. Yeah. I'm 15.
Good to hear.
Too.
Yeah.
15 years. Oh my God. No prenup. So I'm like, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? So stuck. Relationships. What is the what makes your relationship cohesive and why does it work? And like, what are your core values together, which is the reason why, you know, you're able to stay together?
You know, that's a good question.
I think it's a big part of it is a willingness to work on things. Because I think where I've seen a lot of issues are people who aren't willing to change or go to therapy or do anything about making sure that your relationship is solid, because things, you know, they come in waves, things get thrown at you, things like, you know, triggered depression,
which nobody saw coming, you know, we didn't expect that whatsoever.
Having a baby, COVID. So I think your lives are ever evolving and changing. So the ability to work as a team and evolve and change together is important. And one of the things that really was important with my relationship with Brand specifically is that we have shared goals. You know, we've from the beginning, we knew we both wanted to get married. We both knew we wanted to buy a house, have a family, you know, work in this industry. So because of that, we can really work as a team and we have things we're working toward all the time together, which I think is nice.
You know, Norman Buckley, right?
Yes. Adore him.
One of my favorite directors of Pretty Little Liars. We were both in Vancouver a few years ago at the same time and we got dinner and he was telling me about how he and his late husband had gotten together. Norman had asked him out and he was just, and David was the name. And he was just like, listen, I'm going to be really honest with you. These are the things that I'm not looking for. And these are the things that I'm looking for. And if you're on board for that, sure, we can go get dinner. And I was like, holy shit, you can just tell people what you want?
Well, we play games, don't we? We play games, right?
We sure do. We absolutely, right? Like, to me as a 31-year-old man, I was like, oh, you just tell people. That makes a lot of sense. So when Kim and I got together, I knew pretty early that she was someone that I could see myself marrying. And I was like, all right, I have to approach this differently. And so before we got exclusive, I was just like, listen, I got to talk, which is probably a very abnormal thing for a 31 or 2-year-old man to do. I was like, let's have the talk. Is marriage something that you see in your future? Are children something that you see in your future? Because I can't get into something serious at this age without knowing that that's a possibility.
And I will tell you, I was in a 7.5-8 year relationship before Brant that ended about, honestly, like 3 months before I met Brant. But that ended because my ex didn't want those things. He didn't want to get married. He didn't want to have kids. That like wasn't on, you know, in his goal set, which is totally fine. But that's one of those things you can't really compromise on. And so my rule to myself, because I'm such a relationship woman, I was like, you are not allowed to get into an exclusive relationship with someone unless you know that they want the same things that you want in the future. And so I was like in my car practicing, like, how do I approach this with this man I'm seeing? Because Brant made it very clear pretty early on. Like, I was like, he's moving towards the exclusive.
Oh yeah. I'm not playing games
soon. Like, I was like, oh, this is different. This guy is not, he's moving towards, he already told me he wasn't seeing anyone else. So I was like, how do I?
Folded my cards way too early, didn't I?
It's the second date, Kim, and I'm not seeing anyone else.
So what's your ring size?
Yeah, right.
But you're how do I approach this without scaring him off? Because I was like, I've made this commitment to myself that this isn't gonna, I'm gonna have to have this conversation before we have, I agree to be exclusive with someone. And then I'm sitting there thinking about how to do it. And he brought it up to me.
So. Isn't it interesting though, that like we as women have that thought in our head. We're like, how do I not scare him off? When I doubt that any man probably has that thought, you know, like, am I going to scare her off? Cause it's like the automatic, I think like response is, oh, she, you know, she wants this. She wants the, you know, the commitment, which of course is true in many cases, but it's an interesting, like focus on just the mentality of it, you know?
And goals are so important. Like if you, so many people get into relationships and like you said, Kim, it's like you get 7 years in and you go like, oh, you don't want kids. Like I've always wanted kids. Like how, I mean, that to me is that is an absolute game. That's a deal breaker. Like if someone said that they didn't want children, I'd always known I would have children. I thought I'd have four. Maybe I'm going to have to settle on two. But it was really important to me to have a family. And, you know, so many people stay in relationships and then they don't know until the end of it that they're just on different paths. And so goals is such a great thing that you said, because I even said to my husband recently, he's like, okay, so we're in a weird time right now. Like where do we want to go back to LA? Do we want to settle somewhere else? Like what kind of life do we want? We know we want to be in the business, but what does that look like? Do we want to spend more time doing our own stuff, create, because we work together, but my husband's about to direct two films. Like what does that mean for, like, are we coming with him? Do we, you know, there's so many things. And if you don't talk about those goals, then one person is going to be frustrated and they're going to feel not heard. And then that's when, you know, I think the friction starts is when you're not communicating and you're not talking about goals and dreams and desires and working towards them. So I think that that's a really big thing in relationships for sure.
That's good to hear. We're actually gearing up for a film that was supposed to be filmed next spring, but guess what? We're having a baby. So we're pushing it to the summer, but I'm like, wow, how are we going to juggle? We're both writing this film and I'm going to direct it. So there's a lot.
I was going to star, but I don't think there's any way with him doing a full-time directing. Hopefully they'll allow me to play the like peripheral kind of, you know, secondary fun female character that doesn't have to carry the movie.
Right.
Because we'll have, you know, potentially a 4-month-old baby.
Yeah, but that's good to know, because we need to
you can kind of do anything. I mean, when I first had Phoenix, she just came everywhere. She's traveled to like 20 countries. Like
Did you take her on set?
I would like breastfeed and then like go and do a take, and you really can I do believe that the first baby, you can kind of do anything. You can kind of bring him. It's when they like start having their friends and their structure and they need to be in school and like they're emotional. Like right now I have to deal with my 7-year-old's emotional well-being. I don't have to do that with the baby. The baby's like 2 years old. She just cares about like getting into the sink and like putting permanent marker on her face. Like it's a very different, it's like, you know, you can do whatever you want. You just have a nanny on set and just breastfeed between takes, or you can pump. It's stressful, but it's definitely doable. You can do anything.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah, because we're going to be doing, I mean, I'll be doing like 18-hour days.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be directing full time. I think we may bring my mom or something or someone.
Oh, that's good. That's helpful.
See where we're at with COVID. Maybe I'll bring my sister if it's too dangerous for my mom. But I'm, you know, feeling hopeful that maybe by then, you know, the older people will be able to have at least gotten their vaccines at that point.
But when we were doing 50 Shades, Jamie Dornan had his second daughter weeks before we started filming. And I remember asking him how he was doing. He just went like, okay.
Carrying two.
My wife hates me, but okay. Yeah.
Sleep deprived, you know, the whole bit.
Yeah. God, so Jamie, if you're out there, kudos to you.
Oh my God. But with Lennon, my husband went back to work. So he was gone while I was 9 months pregnant shooting in Oklahoma, and we had a flood. So I was like literally had a flood in the house, had my first daughter, was pregnant with my second, had the C-section. 2 days after the C-section, he went back to work. And thank God, my only advice, and I just said I wouldn't give you advice, is get it. If you can get a night nurse, get a fucking night nurse.
Yes, oh night nurse God. Saves the day.
People think it's, I didn't have it with my first, had it with my second. Mm-hmm. Total game changer. Postpartum depression with my first. Did not have postpartum with my second. It's because what happens with your baby is you watch them while they're sleeping. So you like never sleep. With a night nurse, they give you the baby, you breastfeed, you go straight back to sleep for 4 hour increments. Yeah. So you can sleep for 4 hours, breastfeed. Sleep for 4 hours. Yeah. When you don't have a night nurse, you are breastfeeding, and then you're like, oh my God. If the
changing the diaper
over,
and
the
like
baby flips over, then like, oh my God, it means that they're not breathing. And they're like, it's not about like giving the baby food. It was a game changer. I would never have another child. This is just me, ever, without a night nurse. Never. Yes.
Yeah, and 4 hours doesn't sound like a lot, but
yes, okay. And by volunteered, I mean insisted.
Yeah, my mom has insisted. So
which we are at four. We're not complaining.
My mom is in the Bay Area, so she's up near San Francisco. So she can get here on a 5.5-hour, 6-hour drive versus, you know, unfortunately, his mom has to get on a plane and do more to get here. But also my younger sister's getting married too. So she'll be, my mom's, and that's happening, you know, on my family's property. So we have, we'll be juggling.
If anyone can do it, you guys can. I feel really.
That's a nice vote of confidence. Thank you. Yes. It's nice to hear.
4 hours of sleep does not sound like a lot right now, but trust me, when you have a baby, that is like golden. Like you've got 4 hours of sleep. You're like, oh my gosh.
If you're not waking up with Phoenix, I was waking up every 45 minutes and I started hallucinating. So like the fact that you get those 4 hours is so doable. Once you've slept 4 hours straight, you're like, you feel like you're
a new woman.
Oh my God. You're like, I can do anything. Kim's like, what? 4 hours?
No, I think I read somewhere that it takes a little over 3 hours for you to get that kind of restful cycle. So that would make sense. If you're able to get past that 3 hour mark, you can get that restful cycle before you have to wake up.
Oh man.
So I'm sure that that's helpful, but yeah, we'll see. I remember when I got my first dog, my sister and I adopted her together, and we were living together at the time, and neither of us were sleeping because we were crate training, and she just cried all night long. And I was very emotional. So
it's like that, but just longer. It's like 1 year. Oh,
God. But that's good. You had some training. Emotional.
So good luck, Grant, at that point. I'm fine with the pregnancy hormones, but I will see how the sleep goes.
We'll see what happens when I go off and direct a movie, leave you with a baby.
I mean, I don't want to scare you, but you know what? I'm going to say the good things is that the first time you see your child, and I might make you cry again, Brant.
I'm already halfway there.
The first time you see your child, no matter how the child comes out, Roxy and I were both in C-sections. It's like you have known them your whole life. It's like it's like you guys don't know your child, but when you see your child, you're like, oh yeah, they are. Like I remember you. They've like walked with you your whole life. Like when I saw both my kids, I was like, oh yeah. Like that's her. That's her. That's her. And I knew it wasn't like giving someone else's baby. It wasn't like someone else giving me a child that I was like, what is this? I was like, oh, this is right.
Tierman, we need to clarify though, because your first go around, like she and I are, but I have one daughter, and you're hopped up. Well, after you have the C-section, usually you're hopped up on like morphine. Like
I didn't take morphine.
The first time I did. Yes. The first time when they brought, they brought my daughter over, I was like.
Yeah, she was kind of high.
You're just like,
but at some point she was like, oh, she's mine. She's walking me my whole life. When the morphine comes off. Yeah.
When the drip goes away.
I think as as actors, so much of what we do is based on our imagination and trying to come up with imaginary scenarios and then react to them. And I've tried to imagine this moment probably a million times and I just can't get it. Like, I can't picture it. And I think, I think it's too big of a moment. I don't know how I'm going to feel when I actually see the child. So I, I'm excited is what I'm trying to say.
You will sob. My husband's only sobbed three times in 15 years. One when we got married, which is a little strange because I was like, that's a lot of crying. I'm like, are you happy you're getting married? I'm like, that's like kind of like my life is over crying. And then when we had both out children, both both times we had, so Phoenix and Lennon, both the girls, he cried, and at our wedding. And that's kind of it. Like, if that's all that he cries for, that's amazing. That's the most pivotal moment of your life.
That's worthy of crying for.
Yeah.
I'll cry at anything. I'm a crier. for whatever reason. when she showed me the pregnancy test, I cried.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I'm all the way invested.
Yeah, he weeps through our wedding too.
I was like, I should probably cry a little more because these pictures are gonna look strange. Like, my husband's like, and I'm like,
I think it's also too. I was like, you're the most meaningful person in the world to me. And she was like, I love you, Grant, and these are the reasons why.
No, I had more emotion.
I'm kidding, but you were very poised.
You know, but it's interesting because some people are happy criers, and then some are sad criers, and some are both. So, like for me, I didn't cry at my wedding. Like, I think I was like kind of, you know, I was happy, I was elated, but I think you kind of, you know, you can do either or, right, Tam?
I've never seen you cry, Roxy.
You have never seen me cry, have you?
No, I probably made you cry, but I've seen you cry.
Okay. What are we gonna do? You got to make me cry.
I don't know, but these guys have to leave. So we have to do a Never Have I Ever. This has been a wonderful chat. I really am so
let's
grateful that you've been open.
I know, you guys are the best.
Okay, let's do this. Right. So Never Have I Ever. You just say I have or I haven't. Kind of weird response, but you got to be honest. We don't have to be. We'll never know.
This makes me nervous.
Good.
You go first, Roxy. Let me get it.
Never have I ever wanted to kill each other in quarantine.
Never.
I have not.
Wow. You have not contemplated.
But never quite got there.
You have not contemplated homicide.
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Quarantine's not over yet. I mean.
Wait, so then my question is, never have I ever said something I wished I could take back in quarantine.
Oh, I've definitely done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
100%. I don't know if you have.
I don't know if
you
I have.
You don't generally say things that you regret. I just.
She's like, I mean every one of them.
Okay. Never have I ever lied to each other in the past week.
I don't think I've ever lied to Kim once that wasn't about a Christmas present or a birthday present. So no, actually. And I haven't lied about Christmas presents recently. So no, I don't think I have.
Nope.
And can't
you're allowed to lie about Christmas presents.
No? Yeah.
It's
not really
it's
a
good lie.
Yeah, it's a good lie.
Never have I ever. Okay, this is for Kim. Made Brant sleep on the couch.
No, he did it like a couple weeks ago because he was having trouble sleeping and the dog was like farting in the bedroom.
When the dog farts, you can sleep on the couch. It's okay. When your wife or your husband farts, you can sleep on the couch. It's okay.
And the dog was being loud, and Brant was just.
I'm already a light sleeper, which is going to be great when the baby comes.
We sleep in separate rooms. My husband sleeps with the kids so that I can sleep. And it's like, for a long time, I used to be like, oh, you don't love me. And then I thought, oh my God, you so love me. He sleeps without children so that I can get 8 hours of sleep. And he only gets like five or six because they get up at 5:45 and he works until 12. So he'll sleep with them till 5:45 and I wake up at 7:30. But
everything that you've ever told me or actually ever seen.
Yes, he's a saint and I'm an asshole. I get it.
He's like the greatest guy in the world. Good for you. You lucked out. I didn't mean you were an asshole, but he's a saint.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's pretty true. I am an asshole and he is a saint, pretty much.
Okay, I got a naughty one. A little naughty. Never have I ever been truthful to my spouse about the number of people I slept with before we got together.
We've never discussed
Neither
it.
Of us have ever been truthful.
Oh!
We established that's not an important thing.
Mm-hmm. My gosh, that was so important to me. I'm like, I need to know the names, the addresses.
She's like doing drive-bys.
No, you know, we were both got tested and we're clean and we're and decided that didn't matter to me. I don't care what that number is. Yeah. I assume it's not crazy high. But
she's like 624.
I'm sorry. We're about to admit something, but we watched Love Island and like the numbers on that show when they talk numbers.
I know, it's like some 20-year-old British man. He's like, oh, I've shagged 400 beds. Like, what? What? What do you do all day? How?
That's clearly what he does. Too. I can still remember the names of every one of mine.
You do, Tamin, you actually remember the
There's
names.
There's a few murky ones. Like, and I'm still like, Jonathan. Was that really sex? Or was that just like an accidental something? I don't know. Like, there's about four that I'm like, not even sure if I should count that. It's a confusing number, but I would say most of them, name is Jonathan. Most of them. Jonathan, Jason, Jake, Jared, Jaren. I swear to God, all the J's. I don't even like J names that much. And all of them were from Vine to Fairfax, like the doors of all the bars. I just wanted to get into the bar. I thought that's how you had to in LA. But I do remember most of their names. And I would say 98% of them were terrible. So I don't know. I would like to take 98% of that number away. I don't like to count the ones that were like a good experience.
Many of mine were not the best experiences.
I remember when I was like, I hit my all time low. I think I was 21 and it was 4 a.m. in the morning. And the reason I knew is because like I met this guy who I really liked. I'd known him sort of, but not really. And I went home from the bar and I'd never done this. And I was like, we had just slept together and I was like laying in his bed and I looked up and he had a flashing clock and it just said 4:01 a.m. And I thought that was the moment that I was like, I must change my life. This is not who I want to be. And then I met my husband like literally just after, thank God, because I don't even know what would happen.
I don't know how many more Jonathans were left in the city, Tamin.
I would definitely have found them. If they were. Okay. Well, last question or one or two and then we'll let you go. Okay. Never have I ever wanted to try Kim's breast milk. Are you going to try it?
Ooh.
This is actually, I just read the chapter on breast milk the other day and I've decided that I am not curious. It's not that I wouldn't. I just don't have a desire to.
You're not going to put it on your Fruit Loops or
your morning coffee?
It doesn't disgust me, but it doesn't do anything for me either. That makes sense.
It just tastes sweet. It tastes like sugar water.
Sugar water, right. Yeah. It's right. Like that. My husband did try my breast milk. He did. And I think he was just like curious about it. Like he was just kind of like, what does it taste like? And like, what, you know, like, what's all the hype about, you know?
I tried mine.
You tried it? You drank it?
I'll probably try it.
Roxy, your husband tried it and you haven't tried your own breast milk?
No!
You fed your child that for a year. How did you not just like touch it on your nipple and just be like, oh, okay, that's what it tastes like?
I don't know. I think I'm kind of like Brant like that. I'm like, meh. Doesn't really interest me, but like it doesn't disgust me.
I didn't think about it. Like, you know what? I don't think it's.
I'm curious to know what it tastes like, but it's not something I'm like. I've been excited to do. But now that we're
trying out some recipes,
Now that we're talking about it, I am like,
it's
curious.
So strange. We literally drink milk, breast milk from cows, and we don't even think about it. Like. We're fine with that. We're like, oh, a cow's breast milk. We're fine. We'll make it into a smoothie. But like our own breast milk, we're like, ew, that's gross.
That is really weird.
It is weird. You're like never having cow's milk ever again.
I'm going to throw my milk away right now.
Roxy, last one. Cow's
milk. Never have I ever. Ooh. Never have I ever. Let me get a good one. I'm like, never have I ever gone to sleep mad at one another.
Oh, we have.
Oh yeah, we definitely have.
Okay, so you
just like the rule. Don't go to sleep angry.
That's what I say. Go to sleep angry. But Tamman has to resolve it.
No,
like,
the
right
rule
away.
Is go to sleep. Not angry, Roxy. It's not.
Go to sleep angry.
It's like, that's the rule. Go to sleep angry. I'm like, no, it's the opposite. You're not supposed to go to sleep angry.
You have touched on something in our relationship.
I came into this relationship like, we need to talk it out. We need to resolve everything. We're not going to go to sleep angry. But Brant, this is actually one of the things within our relationship that we have to work a lot on is he needs his space. He needs to be left alone.
I get angry and I go away for 8 hours. And
so my husband does, into a hole.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not the most helpful coping mechanism.
Well, I'm like, something's wrong. Let's fix it right now and move on.
Which is a far healthier way, I think, of trying to deal with it.
Thanks for realizing that. No,
a breakthrough.
But yeah, so we've kind of, I've had to learn to, okay, it's okay. We need to go to sleep because it's not going to be productive trying to talk this out with him when he's angry. He needs to cool down before anything productive is going to happen.
And more often than not, I'll come up the next day or a few hours later and I'll be like, I'm sorry, I did that. I've had time to internalize it and process it. I'm trying, this is something I've been working on a lot this year, is shortening that time.
Yes.
To where I get mad, give myself a few minutes and then come back and say, okay, that upset me and here's why and we'll figure it out.
You know why it's hard when men shut down is because women feel shut out, and then what they do when they feel shut out is they feel scared, and then when they feel scared they get heightened, and then when they get heightened men shut down more, so it's like this cycle of, like, you know, my husband and I used to do run chase I'd shut down, he'd run, and no one gets what they want. So what has to happen is, like, you know, I or Kim has to give a little bit of space, but then the man has to also, like you said, you can't shut someone out. You can't be like, I love you so much, I'm here for you, but I'm going to shut you out for a day. Like, that's just as abusive. It's not abusive. It's sort of. It's like emotionally abusive as yelling at someone. And it's funny because people who think, well, me being quiet is not as bad as yelling, but it absolutely is. It makes the other person scared. So it's like, to not do both of those things is how, you know, to like try to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I learned that when I would try to talk to him or like fix it right away, he would just get mad at me, or like it would elevate it. It would take longer for him to cool off and be able to talk to me, because we've now heightened the situation because I was at him, you know, trying to like talk with him about it. And so, yeah, it's always a learning in relationships.
I've learned over the years that if I need to go shut myself out for a minute, if I just give her a little bit of comfort first and say, look, this isn't about you, this is something that's going on with me. Please don't take this offensively, but I need to go away for a minute. That helps a lot.
And so you have kids, like, and you're like, there's nowhere to go. And you're in quarantine.
You know, it's
like,
meeting
excuse me,
each
I need to leave. And she's like, no, you don't. We have a newborn baby. Exactly. You fucking get back here right now.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing, too. That's like the thing, too, with dads. I noticed, like, my husband, after, you know, I had the C-section on Thursday, he was back at work on Monday. And, you know, like, part of, like, work in his business, because it is very social, he's an events producer, so it's, like, going to dinner with clients and, like, going for drinks and, like, doing all that thing. And it was almost like he had, like, a normal life pretty quickly, right away, you know? Which is interesting, because I definitely did not have a normal life right away.
That's got to be an interesting.
Did you feel resentful?
I did. It did. And it, yes. And he.
Why did you have the C-section?
Exactly. I'm like,
let me show you what it's like.
Yes. And I took it out on him. Yes. I took it out on him. I took it out on my mom, who was like there helping us, like visiting from Texas. Like, just like, you know, you just like unleash almost, you know? So there's
you
that.
You just have to give yourself grace. Like, as new parents, if I could look back 7 years ago, it's different with a second because you're like, fuck it. You're like, I don't care if I eat cereal only for 2 weeks. Like, I don't care. Like, the second, you just give yourself more grace. But the first one, I just wish that I look back and I was like, Tamin, why were you so hard on yourself? Mm. No one is succeeding at this. No one is perfect. No one is coming out unscathed. It's tough and it's beautiful and it's messy and it's exhilarating and it's love. It's the most incredible love you'll ever have, but it's fucking hard. And if I just look back and I was just like, give yourself grace. You feel like shit. You look like shit. Your body feels shit. It's okay. Like, it'll get better. It might not go back completely, but it'll get better. You know, it's just like, you just don't know. And I think just giving each other grace, giving yourself grace is like just an important thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's really beautiful.
That is beautiful. Yes. I don't know if you hear our dog snoring in the background.
Oh, I don't know if you hear my husband snoring in the back, but my husband's right there snoring.
He's been snoring this entire time, so I just wanted to put that.
Yeah, in case you hear the snoring present throughout this whole episode, that's going to be the dog. He's right here.
It's better than farting, right? It's better than farting.
Well, he does both quite often.
I'm just glad my kids haven't been naked in the background of this.
See, that's a minor miracle right there.
Yeah, I can't believe they've actually shut up this whole time. Well, thanks, guys, so much.
You.
We are so grateful to have you.
Such a lovely time.
Nice to see you, and it's nice to meet you, Roxy.
Nice to meet you guys, too.
And, guys, you need to rate, subscribe, follow, or we'll find you.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And we will find you.
Yes, in case you didn't notice, I brought my appropriate mug.
Oh, nice.
The one that we have to hand wash because it's so sentimentally important to me.
Yes, I love it. And where can everyone find you? What's going on?
Yeah, where can people find you?
You can find us online at Kim Daugherty, at Brant Daugherty.
At Kim Daugherty underscore.
Kim Daugherty underscore. We have a movie that we wrote, produced, and starred in called A Christmas Movie Christmas. Mm. It is, if you can't tell, a Christmas film.
Yeah.
And it is available on Hulu right now. So if you want to see the both of us fall in love slowly on camera, that's the place to do it.
And you can actually tongue kiss each other.
Yeah.
You actually said, I've never tongue kissed anyone on camera, but now you can because it's your life.
Yeah, I can. We actually didn't in the movie because, again, Christmas movie. But
very, very sweet and meta and wholesome.
Yeah. Yes.
No tongues in Christmas movies.
Right.
No tongues for Christmas. And you guys can find us on Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on Facebook.
And I am Tamin Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are...
Women
on...